Next portion of the tape will be reported by Robert Briggs on January 2nd. This is your life. How old are you? Well,
that is not going to be pleasant. I'm 3.5 years younger than you.
Yes, sir. Well, seriously, I don't know how to get into it, but last time we were here, you told a couple of things about your relationship with Franklin that I didn't remember. Thanks. And thanks to the heater coming on, it interfered. And one of the things that you had talked about was Franklin teaching you to play chess.
Chess or chess?
Stop. Don't make me censor this.
Well, I assume you're going to have an editor.
I assume chess.
Yes, he taught me chess.
How did he do it?
Very slowly.
How old were you? God bless it.
I was 11 years old. And,
where were you?
In San Fernando.
Why?
We won't go into that.
Okay. So
I was there to get away from my sister.
He learned some chess at the ashrama before he was 11. But what you first remember is 11 in San Fernando?
Well, I really learned to play the game of chess in San Fernando.
Oh.
At the age of 11.
Okay, and?
He was a very methodical teacher. And we always started, he taught me by playing endgame. He would teach how to move the men. And we'd take different combinations of end games, and we just played that day in and day out.
Why didn't he get impatient with you? I mean, he knew the game and you didn't. Why did he ever seem to get bored or impatient? Or?
No. With chess, I never picked up any impatience. And
how come you liked it? How come you didn't get bored? You were only 11. Ryan's age.
Well, that's true, but it was just a challenge. I got into learning to move the men, and I wasn't too interested initially. And then once we started playing the end games, I got interested. And then once I learned how to, move the men, then he would start the beginning of the games, and we'd go from there. And once I learned how to use the men, then he taught me how to play the game itself. How to try to integrate the movements into the game. And we play two times a day, every day, for 5 months, and I beat him 7 times, and that's when he made 7 errors. Like you overlook, checkmate or something. But he had the patience. But near the end there, I gave him some, interesting games. So he enjoyed that too.
That sounds interesting. That's an experience that nobody else has had.
Once I learned how to play chess, it helped me a lot in school. I remember I was in the 6th grade when I learned to play, so I came back to Morenci in the 7th grade, and they had a chess club there. And so one of the guys in the chess club, he wanted to play me a chess. He said, he's only going to take about 10, 15 minutes. Of course, I knew what he was going to do. He was going to play the fool's man.
Oh.
And so anyway, we played together, and he lost. And I think he was a sophomore, and here I was only in the 7th grade. And his pride, certainly
yeah.
did. And I remember several times I in the chess club, I was beating these juniors and seniors, and that really hit their pride.
You had a good teacher.
Yeah. And then being in the chess club helped a lot. And it just kept, you know, improving. Until a couple of years after college, and that's when I decided to give it up. Because it's taking too much time.
Yeah. What were some of your first impressions of Franklin, or your first memory?
The first time I can truly remember him was in Morenci in the winter of 47. But I think it was 48 when he and Grandma came visiting us. And that's really from that point on, I could remember him. Now, I was up at camp with him, but I just don't recall.
No, yeah. Well, do you remember his paying attention to you, or
I don't remember
talking
much,
to you
either with him or grandmother. I don't remember before before they came to Morenci, I thought.
One of the things that you had mentioned was that you had such a strong feeling for Franklin, you were afraid that Dad might be envious and feel threatened.
Yeah, well, when they came to Morenci, both grandmother and Franklin, I remember, you know, the good feeling they carried, but I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt guilty enjoying these feelings because I was afraid I was going to hurt Mom and Dad's feelings on that. And it was only a couple of years later that I really realized what it was. But I can still reflect back and still remember the tremendous force it was. But it was a very positive, uplifting force. And I guess I was fortunate enough that I was sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, in addition to that, that I remember with Franklin, and it's such a good example, but whenever he spoke of a person, you know, he only spoke of their positive traits. And probably less than 1% of the time he spoke did he ever mention anything that you could construe as maybe not being positive. But he always emphasized the positive in people. And it was interesting because they would respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I don't think he many times really even saw it. It wasn't important. That and the force that he carried were the two of the things I remember. And in life, I always go along the principle that actions speak louder than words. So I always look at the actions of a person to see what they do or do not believe in. And that was one of the strengths of Franklin,
mm-hmm.
is he always practiced what he's preached.
How about the time that you used to go up when you were in Palmdale? You used to go up and help him work on the house. Did you have much interaction with him then, or did you talk philosophy?
Well, we wouldn't talk philosophy that much. But, you know, Franklin, when you would start to talk, carry on a conversation, you could be quiet, and I was quiet a lot up there, and he would just talk incessantly, in a sense. And he could talk 3-4 days in a row, and in those 2 years I went up there, he never repeated himself. It used to just amaze me. And he could pick up what questions you wanted answered. And then he would answer them, even though you didn't ask him. And that happened a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I started questioning him a little on round roots and races, because I was interested there. And that's when he told him to start reading the Mahatma letters. And, you know, if he ever had any questions, you know, he would answer. But we didn't, per se, get into what I would call a philosophical discussion. But I remember listening, he introduced me to Wagner, and I was a little naive. He said, well, we'll just play one of Wagner's short operas. And I thought, well, great, that'll be about 20 minutes. And the shortest opera, I think, is like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, easy.
And so I listened to 3.5 hours, and I was sort of shocked, you know, here it's opera that I didn't like, in particular. But before I left and came back to Phoenix, one day we were listening to Parsifal. And I listened to the total 5 records on both sides and truly enjoyed it. I have yet to be able to listen to it since then. I can listen to 2-3 records, and I just can't take it.
Yeah.
But out there in the psychosphere that he had generated, it was a very, very, I remember, positive experience. Because it carried such a force, and of course he had such a force. And he explained the ring series to me, and it was in philosophical terms.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, because of that, I realized the depth of life I have. And of all the composers that I know, all of the music like, well, so many of the composers are very, very good. None have the depth of life. He must have been operating in the conscious. But Franklin just loved, you know, the music in the early morning. So I learned Bach myself. But it's, you know, again, you pick up so much by osmosis. But he was, at that time, you know, his mind was still very, very cheap. And every time I go back to Palmdale, I just felt, for lack of a better word, you know, inferior in the sense that here's this great mind and great knowledge, and he could speak incessantly, never repeat himself, you know, and it doesn't matter almost what subject he was speaking, he had a tremendous knowledge and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were out there, one of the things, a lot of his experiences, I loved learning about them. And we got into when gold and his prospecting years. And he had, you know, really true interest in prospecting. But he would, I forget what you call it, we got into dowsing, water dowsing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do a similar thing with gold. And so he had instruction, I forget where he got them from. And he built an instrument to detect gold. And so he went into the deserts with this instrument to try it out. And it indeed would detect gold. However, in the desert he was in, the gold was very, very sparse, was spread over a very, very large area.
Mm.
And so as a result, the dowsing would indicate there was gold, but there was none of value in one particular place. But the other thing I remember Frank Lent was his jokes. He had quite a sense of humor, and he was always telling jokes or illustrating it in some way. And several times I remember him talking about Death Valley. But, you know, it was an interesting experience in the summertime in Death Valley. You'd have the blankets, you know, you had a wash basin, and you'd be washing the blanket on one side, and you turn it around, and before you could get through washing the other side they had washed, and it already dried.
I hadn't heard him say that. That's very good. Did he ever play a joke on you?
Well, he played, I'm sure, subtle jokes. I don't recall. Can't recall anything that sticks out.
What's your most memorable memory of Franklin? I mean, if you had to pick one thing that you remember most.
Well, that's difficult for one thing. I don't know. I guess this is some of the, you know, things that really impressed me with him was his reverence for life. His dedication, you know, to trying to bring life to all humanity, even all the creatures. And because of that dedication, he carried, you know, quite a force. But I think that, along with the thing that always, you know, will impress me until the day I die, was the immense amount of knowledge. It was just overwhelming. And you could just, going around him, you could just feel that. At this, it was obvious he was a very unusual man. And the other thing that sort of amazed me was his memory. He can remember precise quotes, etc., 30, 40, 50 years ago. Tremendous memory. This man is a unique individual.
You don't remember camp at all?
Well, not when I was young. When we went up to camp, you know, in the last two to three years there at camp, I remember that, going through the animal den and being up close to the front with him. I remember people getting stuck in various places in the animal den and having trouble getting through.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember up at the ashram convention Sunday, having to give speeches as well as listening to them. And I remember one of the more painful things I remember about camp was the silent period, especially down at the old camp site. The silent period they had every day, you had to be silent 1 hour. And if you spoke, then the next day you had to be quiet 2 hours. And I remember getting a few days where I had to be quiet 2 hours. And I was just kind of tortured.
Oh, they were kind to you. You should have had to been silent for 8 or 9.
What?
That doesn't count all the times we talked when nobody was around to catch us.
Yeah, that's true. One of the things I remember at the old campsite that was very pleasant was we'd sit around the campfires in the old kitchen and sing songs as a group.
How old were you?
About 9, 8, 9.
Yeah.
About Ryan's 8. And I remember the singing, you know, as down there. I was trying to think, I remember the campsite where they put the tents up.
Remember we always had to be accounted for when they were going to do the blasting?
Oh, up above?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I remember, was coming to find us and then telling us to be somewhere and then they could blast.
Yeah, I remember up at the ashram mixing concrete, the cement, and what a job that was. You know, that wasn't too much fun. But one of the things I'll never forget was when Franklin, I forget what day of the week, took you and I up the Bogey Falls, up towards Boudelaire.
Yeah.
And
us we should come back.
Yeah, it was a beautiful area.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun coming up here in the fall. And it wasn't, you know, that difficult the way we were. But, never made it back.
I was disappointed that we had to turn back, but I still remember coming down that sand. Do you remember how we did it? You know, with leap. Take giant leaps and dig our heels in, because it was all sand, so you could just come down.
Yeah.
Giant leaps at a time.
That's right, I forgot we came down a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody had to come back with us?
No, it was just the three of us at that time. You and I and Frank.
Oh, well, some others went on. God.
Well, I think that was a different time.
Well, okay.
Gone on. I was only up here the one time.
What else do you remember about San Fernando?
I remember several things. San Fernando. I remember Franklin reading Aurobindo to the other one that's looking out. Because your eyes had given out.
Did you listen?
Yeah. He'd read it to the whole piece.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the grandma and mom and I primarily were the ones, you know, listening to Franklin. I remember a couple of times sleeping there when Franklin would have these nightmares at night. And then we used to yell. I'd forgotten that.
Did it scare you?
Well, it didn't scare me, but I'm not surprised to hear it.
Have you ever talked about nightmares?
No. No, I don't think we ever asked him, but down then he would let out, literally let out a yell.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And, which is real interesting. I remember, too, that he had a study period. He'd go into a study, and he wouldn't want to be disturbed. He would be in the afternoon for 2 or 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would come out, you know, everything was fine. But they had some real interesting meetings at the time I was down in South America. A couple of times, Herman Graves came out and spoke, which was very interesting. And a couple of times, they had some other people come out. I mean, I don't recall what they were, but they were interesting meetings. I remember when they did have them, you know, they usually seemed like to me anyway. Around 15 people or so. And you know, it's a meeting.
Now, when you,
in
this memory, you were, what, 12 or 13?
No, I was about 11. Because most of my memories stem the time that we were in San Fernando for about 5 months. Well, I had turned 12, yeah.
Yeah, because I was about 16 when you were out there. So you were old enough that you could kind of listen.
Yeah.
You know, fit stuff with
me. Yeah, and they did. You know, that was a very, very fruitful time for me. Because it basically set the foundation.
Yeah,
and,
what was your relationship with grandmother, or do you remember?
Yeah. I remember grandmother wanted, she used to play chess too. And she was good, although not as good as Franklin. And so we used to play games of chess with her. But I was just trying to think. I remember, you know, some of the discussions they had. She led a lot of the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in a sense, they were sort of facilitated there. But I remember some of the most interesting discussions I had was between grandmother and Franklin. And she wouldn't agree with Franklin, so they'd go at it, you know, and you would get both sides
mm-hmm.
of an issue. And it was, you know, very illuminating.
So did you think he was always right, or?
No, I didn't think he was always right. It's just, at that time, I wasn't forming an opinion who was right or who was wrong. I was just listening
uh-huh.
and learning. I felt they were both right.
So did she take you shopping or play the piano for you? Or what did you do all day long?
Yeah, they had a teacher that come out there to the house. So I'd be... During the week, I was going to school and studying at
mm-hmm.
that time. And,
did you play outside by yourself?
Yeah, I played outside a lot. By myself. Didn't have any sisters or brothers to play with at that time. And, I don't recall, you know, the detail there, because
mm-hmm.
that was just a standard thing. But I remember there were very few kids around me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times that, you know, I missed the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that was during the day. In the evenings, there was always something going on. So, I remember during the days, you know, we had some of the days we went into L.A. Some of the days, a couple of times, I mean, we were going to the ice cafes, or at least once going to the ice cafes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there were a lot of trips that we made that made it interesting. In the evenings, it was never boring there in the evenings. There's always something going on, reading, or discussion, or just talking, or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And I found the evenings interesting.
Mm-hmm. personal TV?
Was it TV or radio? I guess it was radio at that time. But I recall Franklin had the same habit for radio that he had with the TV. He would turn the radio on about 6:30 and listen to the news until about 8:30.
Is that right?
Every morning. And I remember, you know, the programs would repeat the news like the TV over and over again. He would listen to it.
I'll be there.
Yeah, that's one thing that didn't change. He loved the news for some reason.
What do you remember about any of the other people? What do you remember about Dr. Gray?
Oh, I remember some of the things I remember. He had a tape on the power of what hypnosis could do. And I remember we went to see it. It was on, I think it was Beth from World War II, a lot of the problems they had. And they were showing on the film what, or how to heal, I should say how hypnotism healed the people. That once they found out what was causing many of their problems, and brought it to light, then their symptoms would disappear. So the main thing I remember with him was hypnotism, and his talks on hypnotism, and watching him, you know, hypnotize people. And of course I remember being hypnotized.
What did that feel like?
Being hypnotized? I was most of the time convinced I really wasn't hypnotized.
Yeah, me too.
But there was one time that, one situation which I'm not going to go into, that proved to me I was hypnotized. And because, in any case, so I'm sure I was, but the thing I remember most about that was after being awake, even though I was convinced I wasn't hypnotized, the good feeling that always accompanied me. And I remember that. It was a very restful, good feeling. And,
when he did his hypnosis, did he ever do past life regression? Did he just look for causes in this lifetime, or did he look for causes of your problems in past life?
I really don't know. I
don't know how he did it. I hear there are a couple of him regression. He said, not everyone regresses.
But I mean, was that the purpose of the regression, was to find cause of problems?
It might have been. I don't know. But he was so successful in finding causes of a problem that he saw.
Yeah. Well,
of course, he was a therapist.
Yeah. How about others? Who else do you remember? Was Catherine living there at that time?
Yeah, Catherine and Joko were living there.
Up above?
No, we had the up above place.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'm not sure where they were staying at the time. I think they were staying in a room below.
Yeah, it must have been that spare bedroom.
They were staying there for a while, and then they moved out.
Yes, and they lived in an apartment.
Yeah. And, I don't remember anything specific with them. I remember they were nice. I remember Joel's been taking us to movies in the evening, and remember him smoking his pipe. And
you don't remember any feeling one way or the other about Catherine?
Well, yeah, I remember Catherine.
Me too.
But I guess between the two, I always felt most comfortable with Joe.
Yeah. Well, I felt most comfortable with Joe, but I remember Catherine doing things for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were both always real nice.
Who else do you remember? Maybelle?
Yeah. But when I was back there, you know, going up to the ranch. Sometimes I went down just to Maybelle.
And you remember John Shooter?
Yeah, I remember John Shute, and the thing I remember about him is the medals.
Tell him.
Well, John Shute was, you know, living at the ranch with Francesca, and they were helping keep the ranch in shape. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he had me follow him, and I forget the reason. And he I had short sleeved shirt on, and he led me purposely into nettles without telling me. He thought it'd be funny if I got stung. Well, I happened to fall into it, and I had the nettles all over my arms and I had it on my neck and some in the face, and it was tremendous sting. And it went on for, well, at least an hour, and maybe an hour and a half. And when we got back to the ranch, and Francesca tried to put things on there, but nothing would keep that sting away. You know, and she was mad as heck at John, as well as Lazari. But I always liked John until then.
Yeah.
And he sort of had a sadistic side, apparently, because after that, you know, I didn't have much respect for him. And then shortly after that, I guess he left. But I know what Anne went through. Those nettles, it reminds me, the only other experience I had something like that when Cher and I was down at the beach, and we had a jellyfish.
Yes, very similar.
Yeah, and that goes on, and doesn't matter what you do, it just sting for 30 minutes. So, but that, I remember, the thing I remember about Francesca up the ranch, you know, and you were there too, was her going out and chopping off the head of chickens and then cooking the chicken. And after we saw her chop, it was the weirdest thing. You chop the head off, you'd think the chicken would die, right? Wrong. The wings would flap, the legs would flap all around, no head on. Yeah. Well, she'd let go of that. That was to me a shock.
It was to me too. I still remember it.
Yeah.
It was a shock. They should have warned us, I think, ahead of time. And then
the other thing was, I remember up at the ranch, I'm still to a certain extent a little irate with both Franklin and grandmother. I climbed over the fence, and they at that time had a bunch of goats, three goats out there, and there was this one female goat called Nancy. And anyway, I was over the fence petting Nancy, and I decided I wanted to go back to the ranch. And so every time I quit petting Nancy, she'd start butting me with her horns in the seat. And I couldn't get over the fence. And so in desperation, I yelled. And both grandmother and Franklin rushed out of the back door of that house, down to the old ranch house. They come out, and I remember grandmother saw what was going on, and she broke out laughing. And Franklin joined her, and they both refused to help me. And I still resent that to this day. So I finally got out over the fence, but it was a chore because Nancy wouldn't let you get over it.
Yeah.
She'd keep butting you like that, Brian, until, unless you petted her. But that's one of the things I remember at the ranch. And then when I was up there, when we were building the ranch, Franklin had some cows in. And I remember we went around putting up a lot of tents. And that was a chore. And
I was a girl. They didn't make me do any of that. I got to sit at home and read books while you were out working.
I enjoyed that. I remember when we're up at the ranch, you know, Franklin would get up literally 4:30 in the morning, and then he would go out in the field, and he would, I know he'd stay out there until 6 in the evening, and if my recollection is correct, he would, in the summer, go back out after 6 until about 8 or 9 in the field. Well, I would join him from about 6:30 in the morning until about 6 in the evening, and we always ate 4 meals a day, not 3. And that was really a fun time because we were irrigating. Of course, I was like Ryan, I loved water.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a shovel and, you know, I would help irrigate. And I remember irrigating and and running into these gopher holes, especially in the alfalfa field. And, you know, you have the water going along these troughs, and all of a sudden it disappeared. And you look down about 100 feet, you could see it coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick was to stop the leaking in these gopher holes.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had too much luck doing it. Franklin, he had the knack of doing it. Well, that was one of the most frustrating things, trying to stop the water going down a gopher hole.
I think that one time you mentioned something when you were out looking at your game, and you were so afraid he was going to
show
up.
Oh, yeah.
And just as a testament to his integrity, he never said a word to anybody.
Yeah, we had these concrete ditches that the water would go down. So I was, it was noontime, time to go back for lunch. So I headed on back up the field. It was presently down below where Stephen Dario was. And I was coming up to the ranch house. So Franklin was thirsty, so he wanted a drink. So I could see he was going to bend down and start to drink out of the water. So I got a handful of dirt and I poured in the water. And just about the time he'd reach down to get a drink, all the dirt would come by. So, you know, so he just let it pass. And I did it about three times and finally had a yell so he could get a drink of water. So we went back up to the ranch house and I knew he was going to tell grandmother what I did. So we sat down at the table and Franklin spoke up and he was telling grandmother all the good things I did that morning. Didn't mention anything like that.
Mm.
And just, you know, showed the integrity.
Yeah.
But he's always impressed me about the positive. We only speak of the positive with people. And because of that, you know, I felt ashamed.
Yeah.
And I never did it again.
Yeah.
I remember I was afraid grandmother's going to land into me.
Were you more scared of her than you were of Franklin?
Oh, yeah.
We all were.
Everybody else. She would never beat you.
No, she would never beat. She had a big heart.
Yeah.
And got to school. But one of the things I remember about grandmother wasn't so much San Fernando. It's when it came up in Morenci. And they were visiting. And she would take you and I back into Mom's and Dad's bedroom. And I remember sitting on the bed there. And she would talk for hours, telling us stories, you know, all sorts of stories. And I remember how interesting they were. And, you know, and she told some, in some cases where she had knowledge, she would tell about the past incarnation. But she, I remember she had a wealth of knowledge. It was a very good story.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember in the episode, listening for hours to her. You and I both were listening to her. She'd be on the bed.
Do you ever remember in Santa Barbara, her taking us toward the end, right before she died, taking us into her room? I don't remember whether it was together or separately. And talking to us, saying that this is probably the last time she'll be able to really talk to us fully.
I don't remember anything like that, no. I remember visiting her as Santa Barbara, and she wasn't, you know, in the best of shape. But I don't remember that.
I just always remember that when he was saying it in Morenci, I thought, well, maybe it could be Morenci, but I think it was in Santa Barbara, and it was toward the end, because it was one of the times when she would be out mm-hmm. some of the time. And she said, I'm in a lucid time now, and so I want to take advantage of it. There's some things I want to tell you. It may be my last time of lucidity. And I remember her taking us back into her room. I can still see it. I remember it being very dark. But I think that was the altered state of consciousness, kind of darkness. And I don't remember a word. I don't remember anything that she said.
It's okay,
Sharon.
I asked the porter if he'd make the blueberries up early because we were both small and I wanted to go dinner, and he made them up. And you two climbed in your birds, and I was sitting up in the front of the car And pretty soon Bob said, "Mommy." And I said, "Shh." And he said, again, "Mommy." And I said, "Shh." He said, "I gotta go wee-wee." Everybody at the
Bob, what years were you in Palmdale?
61 through 63. June of 61 through November of 63.
And that was right out of college?
Yes.
And you were doing what?
Working at Lockheed as a flight test engineer.
Okay. And why did you leave?
Because I wanted to come to Phoenix.
Bob, tell us about your driving record while you were in Palmdale.
I kept the insurance company in business.
Tell me, in what way am I like Barbara Walters?